Thank you, Hejong. That prelude kind of takes you back, doesn't it? Yes. Good old days when we all get to heaven. Well, we have some announcements today, and we welcome everyone. Let's see here. We have Second Sunday Fellowship lunch after worship, and that is always a good time, good fellowship, good food, and come and join us. Even if you don't have a reservation, I believe we always have plenty of food. I have yet to see anybody go hungry, so come and join us for that, and also for the Family Advent Festival following from 1 till 3. There'll be crafts and a continuation of the good fellowship, and you just never know who or what might show up for that. We have three different Advent devotionals available this Advent season. If you haven't started yet, well, yesterday will be too late, but it will just have to do. You can laugh. Never mind. Well, you got one of them is online, and two of them are in booklets. And please take advantage of that. Lessons and Carols, next Sunday. That is going to be at 5 p.m. Come and be a part of this wonderful service. There will be scripture readings with a cantata, and we're going to have instrumentalists. So the from forming a chamber orchestra. The prelude will begin at 4:30 p.m. So come and be a part of all of that. I am so looking forward to it. And last year I missed it because it seems like I had fallen and bumped my head or something like that. So Walter graciously filled in along with a bunch of other folk. Let's see, we have new hearing assistance devices. If you are like me and have what my wife calls selective hearing, and I call hearing loss, then you can completely avoid the sermon by not taking advantage of these. If you have Bluetooth hearing aids, which who doesn't these days, then these are available to you. And you can see Gene Lowry, Alex Andrews over there, who is still in mourning over the Army-Navy game yesterday. But we won't get into that. Hoorah! Let's see, our calendar for Advent. I have never seen as full a calendar at a church as we have. Be sure to pick it up. It's available out in the commons, and don't miss anything. We are continuing with Soup and Scripture at noon on Mondays. And we're using Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, God is in the Manger, Reflections on Advent and Christmas. We're using Will Willimon's book, Heaven and Earth, Advent and the Incarnation. That's the adult Sunday school class, and it is always a great time of discussion and enjoyment of good folks and fellowship. We are pleased to note that the officer nominating committee once again has moved in record time, and we have a called meeting of the congregation for next Sunday, and the nominees are Mike Brown, Rob Lively, and Julie Tharp. So be sure to give these folks congratulations and encouragement, sometimes condolences, depending on the day. Christmas Joy Offering is right there. You can read about it. It goes to assist retired and struggling church workers with financial assistance. Tuesday, 11 a.m., the Church Women United are going to be having their Christmas meal, and all the church women are invited. And you can bring a gift for the celebration, either a white elephant or something useful. It is your choice, and it'll be a good time had by all. And all attendees are asked to bring either food or toiletry items for our little free pantry. Ladies of the church, Catherine Sellers is going to have a soiree Go be sure to attend that. And I imagine she'll want to know if you're going to come, but bring a small appetizer to share. And then the mission team is making 40 Christmas food baskets on and Roger Rollins is going to fill us in about this. You want to come up here to the microphone, Roger? Thank you, Roger. I appreciate it. Was everybody able to hear pretty much? Okay. I remember one time I was asked to speak before the church, and they told me I could either come forward and stand up and be seen or sit down and be recognized. So there you go. All right. Well, I think that anybody got anything else for the good of the order? Were you raising your hand, Catherine? No. Okay. All right. I just have so many things I could say, but I'm just not going to. All right. The peace of Christ be with you all.
We light the faith candle as an expression of our confidence in the coming light of Christ. As the Lord has promised in days to come, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion fatling will lie down together, and a little child shall lead them. And let us pray. We are waiting in the wilderness, O Lord, waiting like John, who called us to spend our time preparing the way, looking to the future, while we live earnestly in the present. Send us a sign, we pray, that our preparations may be faithful as we set our sights on Bethlehem. Amen.
Seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, praying first in silence. And together we pray. It is hard to wait, O God, but that is what we are called to do. Forgive our impatience and our desires to have instant gratification. Remind us that all things come in their own time, not according to our schedules. Slow our pace and grant us faithful impatience that pauses and prepares the path of the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Now we'll have our time with the children. I'll ask the young folks to join me up front, please. All right, here we come up. Got a banner crowd today. All right. And Miss Lila is celebrating her birthday this week. Okay. Well, Haynes, turn around so I can see you. I don't want you getting into any mischief. Okay. Miss Vicky, my wife, told me earlier this week, she said, sometimes as we get into Advent and Christmas, you tend to get a little too serious. Now, I know you don't believe that, and I'm pretty sure y'all don't believe that, but, you know, it's one of those wifely observances that you have to take seriously. So, I decided to do something silly. I know that's hard to believe. But I went out and I got myself, for my little white truck, I got antlers to put on the windows and a big red nose and wreath to put on the front. And guess what? They have lights that flash. It is the tackiest, silliest thing I have ever seen a preacher drive around in.
My mom does that.
Your mom did that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. It is. All right. Roger and Peggy, you making notes on this, aren't you? Okay. Well, so I tested it out yesterday, and sure enough, it stayed in place, and I turned on the lights, and they all flashed. And I was heading over this morning to come to church, and it was foggy, and it was rainy, and all of a sudden, there was another set of lights behind me. It was a gentleman of the Fannin County Sheriff's Office.
It sure wasn't a Mini Cooper?
It was not a Mini Cooper, I guarantee you. It was one of those big police interceptor all-terrain kind of things, and with the big urban assault fence on the front of it. But anyway, I pulled over, and he kind of laughed, and I was glad to see that he didn't have his ticket book in his hand. So I rolled down my window, and about that time I rolled down the window when the antler fell off. So, and of course I'm dressed kind of like this, and he looked at me and he said, "Good morning, Father." And I said, "Well, thank you. It's Pastor. I'm a Presbyterian, not an Episcopalian or a Roman Catholic." And he said, "Well, good morning, Pastor. How are you today?" And I said, "Well, I was doing fine." And he said, "I love the antlers and I love the nose." He said, "But the lights have got to go." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, it's illegal to have flashing lights on the front of your car unless you have a little red sticker on the right-hand side of your windshield. And I said, what does that sticker say? And he said, emergency vehicle. Now, my truck is not an emergency vehicle. And so I got out and I turned off all the lights, and he was standing there smiling. I said, are we good now? He said, Pastor, you are golden. Have a safe trip. Where are you going? And I said, I'm going over to Dalton, Georgia. I'm an interim pastor at the First Presbyterian Church. And he said, well, he said, I'm a Baptist, but please know that I'm going to be praying for you and your church this morning. I think they have a funny, silly pastor. I'll take it. Hey, if I didn't get a ticket, I'll take most anything from anybody but a hard time. Well, it's fun to have fun around Christmas. It's fun to draw a little attention to the joy that we have as children of God. And I hope you will do silly things. I hope you'll do fun things. I hope you will share love and joy and all the good things that God gives us in this kingdom. And I hope you won't get arrested for it. But let's remember, it's somewhere over there in the mountains of Fannin County, there's a Baptist deputy praying for us. And I think that's just wonderful. So let's us pray. Father, we thank you for the goodness of this day, for the joy we share even in the midst of the rain and the gloom. And we thank you for Deputy Williman, who is praying for us, Wildeman, excuse me, Lord. Father, we pray that you will keep him safe as he spreads good cheer and safety throughout our county. And we thank you that people are praying for us here as we pray for each other. May the circle of prayer, which we start here, surround our whole community. We ask it by the power of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And as I said to the deputy, be safe out there. See you next Sunday.
As we prepare to hear God's word in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture today is a familiar scripture from the 40th book, 40th chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 13. Listen for God's word. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep." Our second scripture reading comes from the second book of Peter, chapter 3. Listen for God's word. "But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will set ablaze and be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire. But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and new earth, where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you're waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without a spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
thank you, choir. That gets us set for the coming of the Lord. Our scripture lesson today is taken from the Gospel according to St. Mark. It's a very familiar passage, the beginning of Mark's Gospel, verses 1 through 8. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. You call us, O Lord, to prepare the way. Help us to remember that it is not a one-time occurrence, rather it is a daily event. For we are called to live in excited anticipation of your coming. And every day in our lives there are ruts and there are potholes. There are dips and curves that must be straightened out. So help us this Advent season to begin to do so with faithful anticipation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, Mark is the earliest, we believe, gospel account written sometime around AD 70, and it was a time when the church was a bit troubled. Persecution hadn't started yet, but it was kind of on the horizon. And a lot of the original apostles and disciples were dying out. And it was decided by various people, we need to write this stuff down, lest the story of Jesus Christ and the salvation history be lost to the ages. And so Mark, as far as we know, was the first one to begin writing. Now you'll notice the intro to his gospel could very well be the title of a book, "The Beginning of the Good News of Jesus Christ." There's no birth narrative. There's no story of Jesus in the temple. He starts right in with Jesus as a mature prophet of the gospel. Well, there is a little bit of anticipation that does not feature the figure of Jesus, and that is of John the Baptist. Now, John is an illustration of what rough clothes and a weird diet will do to your disposition. He is not one of the joy boys of the faith, as I like to call them. He shows up out in the wilderness in a camel hair coat, not the kind we think of today, and a leather belt around the middle, eating bugs and honey as his diet. Now, there is a bit of a foreshadowing of John's attire. If you go back into 2 Kings, you will find the prophet Elijah dressed like this. And so there was at least a connection of John with the past. But it had been some 300 years since a prophet had arisen. And all of a sudden, here comes John out in the wilderness. And he was so weird that people flocked to him. John's ministry was needed by everybody, but expected by nobody. Needed by everybody, expected by nobody. He just is out there in the wilderness. You know, he didn't go into town. He didn't go into the temple. He was so dynamic with his preaching that people went out to the wilderness to hear what he had to say. Excuse me. And his message was very clear, if not very agreeable. The Lord is coming. You better get cleaned up, washed up, and look like people of faith. You need to repent in your personal lives and in your corporate lives as people of God. You need to prepare the way, fix the road. Now, during my summers in college, I had a formative experience. I worked road construction outside of Atlanta. And it was hot, and it was muggy, and the people I worked with were, well, let's just say they wouldn't be candidates for presidential office. Let me retract that. They might be stellar candidates these days. But be that as it may, when I read in the Bible about prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, lift up every valley and clear down every hill. Friends, I have done that. And it ain't easy. And it ain't comfortable. And I don't think that John means for it to be. He says, this is a dynamic, expensive, exhausting preparation which you must undergo in order to prepare the way of the Lord. You must get down to the very foundations of the pathways which you have been taking, and you must backfill. You must reinforce. You must lay down the preparations. You must put down the gravel and the underlayment and the asphalt. Now, I have seen very few Presbyterians mount up on a earth grader. It has happened. I was terrified. I did it one day, and they fired me from that position because I ran over 3 marking posts for levels. Well, we won't get into that. Suffice it to say, preparing the path is a tremendous undertaking, and it involves all of us. Someone once said it takes a village to raise a child. Let me tell you, it takes a city to proclaim a Savior. Each and every one of us. A friend of mine once told me, he said, our village was so small, we couldn't even have a village idiot, so we all took turns. There's a spiritual truth there. Each and every one of us has had our turn being the spiritual village idiot, and we bind each other up, and we heal the wounds, and we We minister to the shame of whatever it was, and we put everybody back on the path again, because guess what? We can't afford to lose one person in our village. Everybody is important. It takes a city to proclaim a Savior, and that's what we are about, and that's what John calls us to do. Whether we like it or not, John just kind of calls it the way he is. And so the people came and they listened and they repented and they were baptized in the Jordan River. How many of you have ever seen the Jordan River? Been there, done that? Isn't it a beautiful, pristine kind of place? No, it's not, is it? It's muddy. It's not all that deep. It hardly can be called a river in places. And being baptized in the Jordan River, I think if that were to happen to any of us, the first place we would go after we came up from those waters would be to a shower. And we would take along Betadine soap, because it ain't a beautiful experience. But those people in John's time did not care. They knew they had been called to a new way of life, and they knew that that new way of life would not always be pristine and beautiful. There would be days and times that would be muddy and frightening, and they did it anyway. We're called to do the same thing. Not to be baptized in the muddy river. You know, we believe that one baptism is sufficient. Thank you very much. Although I do have some of my friends in other denominations who have been baptized 6 or 7 times because they were sure the previous ones didn't take. It's kind of a denial of the providence of God. But be that as it may, John calls them to live a radically different style of life that is open to God, that is accepting of each other, and is challenging to the rest of the community. Come out to the wilderness. Come out to that scary place, that place where at night monsters and ghosts and demons abound. Come out in the daylight and be willing to share anew that the power of God has established dominion over everything that scares us and has established a call for each and every one of us to accomplish. Well, we're in that second Sunday of Advent, and John tells us to have hope. He doesn't come right out and say, have hope. That would be so contrary to his personality. But he says, somebody else is coming. Somebody else is about to show up, the thong of whose sandal I am unworthy to undo. In those days, it was the most menial slave who took off your shoes. Because in the course of the day, you had dust on your feet and you had unspeakable things on the bottom of your shoes. Notice how gently I am describing that to you so as not to frighten small children. The lowest slave would take off your sandals and would wash your feet, and then would anoint your feet with oil so that whatever scratches and cuts you'd picked up along the way would heal. That was the entry level of slavedom. And John says, I'm not even worthy of that. I'm baptizing you with water. But he's baptizing you with the Holy Spirit. And he's coming, and he's going to be here, and you need to be ready. So the question on the second Sunday of Advent is very simple. Two words. Are we? Think about that this week. Are we prepared for the coming of the one who brings the good news to Zion? Let us pray. We are grateful, O Lord, that you have called us. You've called us to do things that may seem difficult, may seem frightening, may undercut our own pictures of who we are, but that's the cost of the kingdom. Help us to realize that you paid a much higher cost by coming to us. Remind us, O Lord, that we have the only faith in which you come to us rather than we trying to attain access to you. Come and touch our hearts and our souls and give us the vision of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And together let us declare that which we believe in the words of our affirmation of faith, a brief statement of faith. Children of God, what do we believe? In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. God, just proclaim the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed, and blessing the children, healing the sick, and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition, Jesus was crucified, suffering the depths of human pain, and giving his life for the sins of the world. God raised this Jesus from the dead, vindicating his sinless life, breaking the power of sin and evil, delivering us from death to life eternal. Please be seated. Let us unite our hearts and minds together in prayer. Our response is, come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. It is cold and cloudy and rainy outside, O Lord, and in here we are warm, we are well fed, we enjoy each other's company, but our mission is not in here. Our mission is to those who are out in the cold, who are hungry, and who are friendless. Even so, Lord Jesus, even now, you have called us, O Lord, to proclaim the Savior, to announce his redeeming work. Help us to find the words and the deeds to do that in ways that are according to your will. Help us to reach out beyond ourselves and to find you waiting in the unexpected places of life. Even now, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, you have called us to live in a dangerous time, a time when we can't really count on what the future may hold for ourselves, our state, our nation, and our world. And yet you call us to do our part, to proclaim your kingdom in thought, word, and deed, and to leave the affairs of history to your providential hand. Even now, God, we do not know what the future holds, but we do know that you are already there. We know that you are the Lord of all that was and is and ever shall be. We cast our hopes and our dreams before your feet, acknowledging our dependence upon you and each other. Even now, come, Lord Jesus. And together we pray the prayer of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we receive again the blessings which you first bestowed upon us. Bless, we pray, each gift, each giver, and may our lives be fulfilled and joined in the thanksgiving of the kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. heaven to live with thee there. Go forth from this place in peace, knowing that by bits and pieces and dribbles and starts, we are being fit for heaven, despite our sometimes resistance. Know that the kingdom of God is indeed coming, and the path is being prepared, and it takes a village to proclaim the Savior, even the village idiot. And now go forth in the name of God the Father, who created us, God the Son, who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is sufficient for us all. And all God's children said, amen.